Bantam Doubleday Dell Audio Publishing presents Wicked Widow by Amanda Quick. Artemis Hunt inserted the last of the three engraved watch fob seals into the third letter and placed it beside the other two on the desk. He studied the trio of letters in front of him. The vengeance he had planned had been a long time in the making, but all of the elements were now in place. Posting the letters to the three men was the first step. It was designed to give them a taste of fear, to make them start looking over their shoulders on dark, fog-bound nights. The second step involved an elaborate financial scheme that would ultimately ruin them. It had been 5 years since Catherine's death. So much time had passed that the three debauched rakes responsible must surely believe themselves safe. They called him the Dream Merchant. He would show the three rakes who had murdered Catherine that he could sell nightmares.
They said she'd murdered her husband. They said she'd set fire to the house to conceal her crime. They said she might well be mad. There was a standing wager in every betting book in every club in St. James's Street. It offered £1,000 to any man who managed to spend a night with the Wicked Widow and lived to tell the tale. They said many things about the Wicked Widow. Artemis Hunt had heard the rumors because he made it a practice to stay informed. Until tonight, he'd had no reason to pay close attention to the gossip that swirled around Madeline Deveridge. Whether or not the lady had dispatched her husband to the next world had been of no particular concern to him. But now, it seemed, she had developed an interest in him. He stood in the night-shrouded street and contemplated the small, elegant carriage that loomed in the fog. The vehicle's curtains were drawn. The horses stood quietly. Artemis recalled the adage he had learned years ago from the monks of the Garden Temples, who had instructed him in the ancient philosophy and the fighting arts of Vanza. Life offers an endless banquet of opportunities. Wisdom lies in knowing which ones to taste and which are poison. The problem with Vanza was that for all its arcane learning and instructive philosophy, it did not make sufficient allowance for the very human factor of curiosity. Or at least, it did not make allowance for his curiosity. Artemis made his decision. He moved out of the doorway and walked through the drifting fog to the Wicked Widow's carriage. The coachman shifted as he drew near.
"Can I help you, sir?"
The words were properly respectful, but Artemis caught the edge beneath the surface. This man, hunched beneath a many-caped greatcoat and a hat pulled low over his ears, served as guard as well as coachman. "My name is Artemis Hunt. I believe I have an appointment with the lady."
"Get in if you please, sir. She's expecting you."
Artemis reached for the handle and opened the carriage door. Warm amber light from the interior lamp spilled out of the opening. A woman sat on one of the black velvet seats. Her face was a pale blur beneath a black lace veil. "It was good of you to respond so quickly to my note, Mr. Hunt." The voice was low, with a throaty undercurrent that ignited a spark of sensual awareness deep inside him. Although her words were laced with crisp urgency, he could detect no promises of passion. Apparently, the Wicked Widow had not lured him into her carriage with the intent of seducing him. Artemis sat down and closed the door. He wondered if he ought to be disappointed or relieved. "Your message reached me just as I was about to play a hand of cards that I was certain to win. I trust that whatever it is you have to say to me, madam, it will make up for the several £100 I was obliged to forego in order to meet with you." She stiffened. Her fingers, sheathed in black kid gloves, tightened around the large black reticule on her lap. "Allow me to introduce myself, sir. I am Madeline Reed Deveridge."
"I know who you are, Mrs. Deveridge. And as you obviously know who I am, I suggest we skip the formalities and go directly to business."
"Yes, of course." Behind the veil, her eyes glittered with something that might have been irritation. "My maid Nellie was kidnapped near the west gate of the Dream Pavilions less than an hour ago. A friend witnessed it all. As you are the owner of those pleasure gardens, I expect you to take full responsibility for criminal actions that occur on your property. I want you to help me find Nellie." Artemis felt as if he had been plunged into an icy sea. She knew about his connection to the Dream Pavilions. How was that possible?
"Mr. Hunt?" Madeline's voice sharpened. Did you hear what I said?
Every word, Mrs. Deveridge.
He deliberately infused his voice with the touch of ennui expected from a gentleman threatened with acute boredom. If your maid has truly been kidnapped, you must instruct your coachman to drive to Bow Street. There you will no doubt be able to hire a runner to look for her. Do not play your Vanza games with me, sir. I do not care if you are a full master. As the owner of the Dream Pavilions, it is your responsibility to ensure the safety of those who patronize your establishment. She knew he was Vanza. That was even more alarming. The chill in his gut began to spread. He had a sudden, maddening vision of his carefully wrought scheme brought down in ruins. This extraordinary female had somehow acquired a dangerous amount of information about him. He smiled to cover his fury and disbelief. Curiosity impels me to inquire just how you came up with the outlandish notion that I am in any way connected to the Dream Pavilions or the Van Zagarian Society.
It hardly matters, sir.
You are wrong, Mrs. Deveridge, he said very softly. It matters. I really do not have time to go into this now, sir. Nellie's in grave danger. I fear she was taken by some of those vile men who supply innocent young women to the brothels. We have not a moment to lose. She grasped the handle of her parasol and wrapped the tip smartly on the roof of the carriage. The vehicle rumbled immediately into motion. Where are we going? Artemis demanded. Back to the scene of the kidnapping. Artemis narrowed his eyes. What precisely do you expect me to do, Mrs. Deveridge? You own the Dream Pavilions. You are Vanza. Between the two, I suspect that you have connections in places I do not. She reached out to lift a corner of the window curtain and peered into the fog-bound street. His attention was caught and briefly held by the graceful, gloved hand that grasped the edge of the curtain. He caught the faint, tantalizing scent of some flowery herbs she must have used in her bathwater. With an effort, he brought his attention back to the more pressing issue. Regardless of how this matter is concluded, madam, I had better warn you that when it is finished, I will want some answers of my own. Madeline was well aware that she had taken a great risk by letting Hunt know that she knew his identity. He had good reason to be concerned, she thought. He moved in high circles in the polite world, but even his fortune would not protect him from the social disaster that would ensue if society discovered that it had admitted to its most exclusive ranks a gentleman who had gone into trade. There was no getting around it. She had virtually blackmailed Hunt into helping her tonight, but she'd had no other choice. There would certainly be a price to pay. Artemis Hunt was a Vanza master, one of the most skilled gentlemen who had ever studied the arcane arts. And Hunt had gone to great lengths to hide his Vanza past. Unlike his ownership of the Dream Pavilions, a membership in the Vanzagarian Society would do him no harm in social circles. Only gentlemen studied Vanza, after all. Yet he was intent on cloaking himself in mystery. That did not bode well. The carriage clattered to a stop, shaking her out of her uneasy thoughts. Artemis reached out and turned down the carriage lamp. Well, madam, we have arrived at the West Gate. As you can see, it is quite busy, even at this hour. I cannot believe any young girl could be spirited off in a carriage in front of so many people. Madeline leaned forward to examine the scene. Ladies and gentlemen, members of the country gentry, shopkeepers, apprentices, maids, footmen and rogues, all came and went through the brightly illuminated gates. The kidnapping did not take place directly in front of the gate, Madeline said. It must have been that corner over there where those young boys are loitering about. Remain here. Artemis vaulted lightly down from the carriage and shut the door before she could demand further details. She watched him walk toward the entrance to the dark lane. He moved with a fluid self-confidence that she recognized immediately. It was so very similar to the way Rennick had carried himself that it sent a shudder through her. On the positive side, in terms of his physical appearance, Hunt bore no resemblance at all to her dead husband. With his blue eyes, pale hair, and romantically handsome features, Rennick had mocked the golden-haired angels in the paintings of the great artists. Hunt, on the other hand, could have posed for the devil himself. It was not just his near-black hair, green eyes, and stark, ascetic face that gave the impression of dark, unplumbed depths. It was the cold, knowing expression in his gaze that sent icy little frissons along her nerves. Latimer climbed down from the box.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?